Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. In case you didn't realize, this is all one big game. Thank you for playing. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mackin. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You could find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Our super producer, Jason Daphnis, is actually out fishing, but you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. I thought that I had everybody on my side, but then I went and blew it, all sky high. And now they won't even spare a glance, you see? All because I spell kids with a Z. When Big Podcast came around just to put him down, Stoop Kid turned into a clown. How could an ep be filled with glee when a podcast spells kids with a Z? I know I shouldn't mope around, I should record, otherwise I'd just be bored. And winding up with listeners brings way more joy than a scathing review that's a diss from some boy. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Now I learned a now we've learned a lesson we won't soon forget. So listen and you won't regret. Be true to yourself, the choice is free. And remember that it is kids spelled with a Z. Bum, bum, bum. Today we're here to talk about episode 82 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 2, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called Gerald's Game. Original air date for this one was April 27th, 2002. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Gerald is involved with his new favorite game, which Arnold dislikes. A special Wikipedia note for this one. For some reason, this episode first aired on something called Ketnet in Belgium, and that's where Wikipedia left it, so I decided to go a little bit deeper. Here's some additional context. Ketnet is actually a Dutch language public children's television channel in Belgium, owned and operated by the VRT, which is a Flemish public broadcaster. It broadcasts a mix of locally produced and imported productions on the VRT3 channel from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m. So that is something. You know what else is something? The folks who made this episode possible, we better shout them out. Frank Weiss directed this one, and Joseph the Purdman Purdy got the writing credit. And I think I've said more than enough. Let's hop in and get some top-level takes about this episode. Emily, we'll start with you. What did you think about Gerald's Game?
Yeah, thank you, Cody. Absolutely crushing it in this episode intro. I thought this was an interesting look back at Gerald's character this episode. Not look back at his character. Basically, I've missed Gerald, and I realized he's been missing for a while. I don't know what's up with that, but we haven't seen him in quite a few episodes, and especially at the end of season 4. He's mysteriously absent from a lot of season 4. So here we have him again, and it's kind of an unexpected happening for him, I think, in this one, where I wasn't expecting him to get really into like a live action role playing board game situation. But yeah, I think we've also talked about this a lot, but the show Hey Arnold, which was, it aired on Nickelodeon, I thought it was a really good look at best friends and best friend relationships with Arnold and Gerald. And so we kind of are back in that frame of reference here with Gerald's just ditching Arnold throughout the whole episode and getting really obsessed and addicted to this game which is something called the King's Cross or something like that. And yeah, so an interesting look, I guess, at just kids getting really hooked on something and kind of taking over their life, and then maybe other things, other friends, family, homework, and such fall into the wayside. But yeah, I don't know. I think I feel a little weird about how Arnold was in this episode. I guess I wonder what y'all thought of it in that way. And Arnold just kind of trying to get through to Gerald and telling him, you know, you've really changed. The game's taken over your life. He tells him point blank. And Gerald says, you know, it's none of your business, and you can't tell me what to do, and I'm not going to stop playing the game. So then Arnold goes all in on learning the ins and outs of this game just by himself to come up as an opponent in the game, in the Geno dungeon or whatever, the mobster basement. Or I think that's where they were. Is that where they... Yes, maybe that's where they were.
A mobster basement? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that sounds right for this cartoon.
The dark underbelly of Hillwood. That's where that's the right. Gamers go to play.
But otherwise, I thought it was, I don't know, other things. I'm just have random notes, I guess, on this one. They mentioned Iggy in the last episode and Sid the Vampire Slayer, the first episode of season 5. And we now see him in this episode, and I just wasn't expecting to see him. So I guess I think I was just thrown off in a lot of ways, unexpected moves happening, and seeing Gerald in a different light. And I guess I think it makes sense for his character that he would get hooked on this game, and he really likes being the king of the King's Cross and having that power and that influence over the other kids. And we know he's a Sagittarius king as well. So he definitely can get into some projects and games and all of that, for sure. But I guess I was having a hard time thinking through how Arnold and him, have the opponent situation competition at the end of it. And I don't know how I feel completely about the way Arnold was handling everything. But one guy I really liked in this episode was Grandpa Phil. And yeah, we got King of Grudges, Grandpa Phil, talking to Short Man. I just wrote down because I thought it was so funny. He said, "Wow, so Short Man, another perplexing roadblock on the avenue of your boyhood." and then he was going off about, "I remember when I was a lad and I was obsessed with the game and blah, 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 blah." And he then says that friend like was such a stupid idiot, and he never made up with that friend. And because Arnold's going, "Oh, and surely, like, so you're friends with him now? You guys talk to each other now?" Grandpa's like, "No, that idiot, like, absolutely not." Because Grandpa's such a grandpa. So, yeah, obviously Arnold did not take Grandpa's advice, which was good, and he tries to talk to Gerald by playing against him in the game. But I don't know if that's the move or what, but I do think it's also an interesting look at how young boys relate to each other and connect through games and media and movies and all of that. And maybe it's easier for the characters Arnold and Gerald to talk to each other through the game in this one than it is to have that conversation Arnold tried to start on the sidewalk that didn't go anywhere. So I don't know, but want to hear y'all's thoughts, and gonna throw the mic backwards.
Uh-oh, somebody better catch it. While that mic is in the air, I think I'll just note that the trajectory of that microphone is leading itself toward resident gamer Harry Mack. And Harry, have you caught that microphone yet?
I'm working on it. Thank you. Yeah, I think that you characterized this well, Emily. At first, I agreed with you. We're like, I couldn't understand why Arnold was so dead set against this. Like, I know that he and Gerald have this little disagreement when Gerald first goes to pick up the game, where he's like, "Oh, I don't know, it sounds really complicated and kind of stupid." And then Gerald's like, "Oh, yeah, totally." I was like, where is the shame coming from, that Gerald doesn't want to demonstrate to Arnold that he's playing this game. And I was wondering if maybe it's that, like, the game is nerdy or something, and, like, this was going to be about, like, friends who sort of, like, run in different social circles and are maybe embarrassed of each other's hobbies or something like that. That would have been an interesting episode, if not one that's particularly in character for Arnold. But instead, Arnold, like, makes it this sort of, like, moral crusade to make our Gerald stop playing this game, which is eventually sort of borne out, because it seems like what is very important to this game is, like, publicly humiliating the people who lose at it. And there's this whole, like, power differential where, like, the king rules and, like, he gets to, like, order people around, and, like, Gerald is very clearly sort of, like, getting high on, like, the power of being the king. Neither of those threads are ever really addressed, right? Like, I think I would have liked this episode more if Arnold's a little bit more like, your personality is changing for the worse because you sort of, like, you are developing this, like, very competitive streak that is alienating the people you like from you. Or if Arnold was sort of like, I just don't understand this hobby that you have, and, like, that is throwing a wrench between us. But it kind of tries to do both of those at once and kind of neither of those at once, which means that I agree with you, Emily, that, like, I didn't really get a sense of, like, why Gerald was so compelled by this game, slash why he felt so like weird about it that he had to hide it from people, and then also why Arnold was, like, so compelled to, like, save the soul of his friend from this game, when to me it was just sort of like Gerald, why don't you just, like, own up to liking this game, and then B, Arnold, like, why don't you just try to learn the game? Like, why don't you just try to play this game with your friend that likes it a lot? Like, I didn't understand why they had to be so, like, secretive about it, I guess. This is a good episode about how disagreements between friends happen, which is that, like, both friends are so afraid of what the other will think of them and are sort of, like, putting words in each other's mouths that they can't ever really communicate, right? Like, I think that the big thing is that Gerald is afraid that, and again, I think that the episode kind of flubs this characterization, but I think what we're supposed to understand from the first act here is that Gerald thinks that Arnold is cool, and he thinks that he and Arnold are, like, the cool kids, and so he's afraid that Arnold will think he's a nerd for playing the king's rules. And that's why he hides it. And then I think Arnold, from his perspective, is so jealous that Gerald has found something that he likes doing more than hanging out with Arnold, that he takes it personally. And so, like, both of these guys, they come to this conflict that really is not about either of what the other person is doing so much as what their own insecurities are turning them toward, which is a really, like, human and especially a really young boy, like, conflict to have. I think that the reason why it doesn't totally work here is just that, again, I don't know that it really characterizes it well. I think that, like, the episode gets a little bit lost in, like, wanting to create this tension between Arnold and Gerald, that it doesn't really do a great job of illustrating where that tension comes from. So instead of getting the sort of, like, conflict that arises from insecurity narrative that I'm discussing, we get this weird thing where it feels like Arnold is, or it just kind of feels like both characters are being pretty unreasonable. And that leads to a climax that feels a little bit, maybe unearned or something. I don't know. I felt like Arnold creating this ultimatum where it's like, oh, either you have to humiliate me, your friend, otherwise you have to give up this game. It felt like kind of a weird false dichotomy for me, where it's just like, I don't really understand why those are the stakes or why Gerald has to choose one or the other. But again, I think that, like, there's something about, like, the big Geno-ness of it all, the, like, abject humiliation that the players are subjected to. We're supposed to understand that the game is bad somehow. But I guess I'm just sort of talking in circles now, but I think that, like, that's kind of what I think the episode was doing and why I don't think the episode is particularly successful at doing it. But what do you think about that, Cody, or what was your big takeaway from this episode?
Yeah, no, my capital B, capital T, big takeaway. I mean, ultimately, I think I come away from this in a pretty similar space to the two of you, in that there seemed to be something lost in the translation of actually prescribing what, like, what is the rift that is driving these two people apart. And I tried coming at it from a few different perspectives and, like, trying to place myself back to, like, when I was through various stages and ages of childhood, where like what happens when you have friends that get into like something, hobbies, passions, whatever it might be, that you are not also a part of. And like, you know, on some level, you from a young age all the way through high school, it's like, you know, sports is one avenue where it's like there's like, oh, you start playing like football and all, like it's football seasons and I'm seeing less of my friend. But that's like,
this is what happened between me and you. Remember when you became a big athlete, it was like, wow, I never see Cody anymore. He's off killing the sports world.
Sure. Well, I don't know if anybody here has seen me in person, which I guess the two of you have. If anybody here is listening, maybe you have, but maybe you have not. I don't know about a big athlete. I think like a regular size athlete is pretty fair. But like, if I had a friend who was, you know, it was soccer season, I knew that I was going to see less of them. And like, I go into this like saying full stop, like maybe there's just like a specific experience or sensibility that I'm just missing. And maybe other people who are not us, like really clicked with that specific, that specific characterization. But like, you know, from that avenue, and not even just sports, but like, you know, if like friends in like marching band, hell, you know, right? Like that's, I know I'm going to see less of like a like my marching band friends, because it's like, I don't know, you're doing that for 9 months out of the year. And there's just, that's the way the world is. Or, you know, as far as like the nerdy coded fandoms go, I can't really speak to that, because I mean, in grade school, when Pokemon was a thing and Yu-Gi-Oh was a thing, I was also doing those things with all of my friends. And so it was just like never really like that. Maybe the closest thing is like Magic the Gathering, which I never really got into, but I also really never felt excluded by that. It was never like something that was walled off in the way that Gerald and these people are seem to be sort of walling off everybody else, maybe as a precaution because they want to protect themselves, maybe some other unspoken thing that again just got lost in the translation. But then there's the sort of thing where like if your friends ever have, you know, again, those passions, things that they want to keep hidden. And I think the two of you gestured at this already, but like the things that they're, and I guess maybe I just did as well, but like the things that they want to keep hidden because they're afraid of what outside perception will be like. And I've had friends, again, way back when, who were like in 4-H and who were like working up to become Eagle Scouts. And like, those are not things that you necessarily broadcast with everybody. And like, I totally get that. And it was never something where like every day of the week, seemingly like back to back days, is as Gerald is displaying here, he's, you know, blocking out Arnold. And I agree with y'all, maybe it would play differently if Gerald were, you know, if he's doing this, he's playing the game, he's becoming rapidly obsessed, he becomes a huge piece of shit. And like, maybe he would feel like, maybe we would probably feel a lot differently about that. But he doesn't really get, like, the closest we get to that is he like stiffs Arnold on like some homework, like this group project gathering or something. That's really the worst of it. Otherwise, just Arnold sees Gerald less. Maybe it would play differently if, like the fact that these people that Gerald is playing the game with, I think maybe you two shouted them out. I certainly can't remember any of their names, but they are like shady coded characters by and large, or like general sort of antagonists for the rest of the series. And maybe if they had a bad influence on Gerald and like that led to him becoming a different, less favorable person, then like we would have a you know, launching pad for this kind of dramatic arc, this trajectory of this thematic, you know, whatever. It would mean a little more something, but it doesn't really. It's just like these sort of outcasts come together and they want to play a game. And to that point, I think I found it to be a lot of fun. Arnold flexing and just like, well, screw it. If this is the only way I can see my friend, I'm going to get really good at this game. I'm going to play him in this game. And the climactic sort of conversation where Arnold is like, Gerald, like there are no stakes here. This is just a stupid game. I don't care about this game. I care about you being my friend. That is why I'm here. None of this means anything, but our friendship means something. And there's just sort of, because the show does a really good job of like building up these stakes. And if you lose, you're going to be put in, you know, the stockade or whatever it's called. That's the law of the game. It's like, whatever, like somebody, you can just walk out. Who cares? It's a game. Like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh and soccer, they're just games. Those are ways of life. The King Rules is actually just a game. don't want to get too hot on that, but yeah, I don't know. All that is to say, I think I'm coming around to a similar spot as y'all, where like there's some potentially good flavors here, but we were missing a little certain something, and I think some things got muddled and conflated along the way, and whatever. I still had fun, but you know, we're all playing armchair director, and that's what this little podcast of ours is all about, right, Harry?
Sure,
heard it here first. No, I'm just kidding.
I really like the way you characterized that, Cody, because it really like brought home for me what I think this episode is trying to do, which is like a really, really great idea for an episode, right? Like we've never really, I mean, we've seen riffs between Arnold and Gerald before, but I think that there's something sort of like almost existentially more frightening here for Arnold, which is this notion that like, hey, like maybe as we get older, like we're going to drift apart naturally, right? Like what if Gerald becomes the like King Rules guy? What if he becomes like a D&D player? God forbid, right? And what if that just means that like we don't hang out as much because like you had said, like maybe he's with the soccer team all the time or whatever. And that but what I kept waiting for was for like the like metaphor to become less metaphorical, right? Like if and I know that like Phil doesn't fulfill this role, so I'm not mad about this, but for somebody to be like, Arnold, like you're not mad at the game, the King Rules. You're mad that your best friend is spending less time with you. You're just jealous and you want to see him again. I feel like that would help the climax pay off, where like Arnold like learns to play the game, because then there would be something kind of uplifting about the idea that like, oh, like maybe having friends means sort of expanding your horizons a little bit, or like learning to communicate with them on their terms or the terms that are meaningful. But like instead, there's this weird notion throughout that like the game itself is bad and a problem, right? And it's like corrupting Gerald. And like we see this from Arnold's point of view, but the problem is that I feel like the episode never really like pushes back against that. It's never like, no, Arnold is just jealous. It's like, no, he's right. Like the King's Rules is like a bad game and Gerald needs to be saved from it. And like that creates such a weird, interesting problem for this episode, because I just don't think that's as compelling as what the episode could or should be, I guess. And it feels like a little bit of a cop-out.
Yeah, I think this episode must be from Arnold's perspective more than anyone else's, even with Gerald being the main guy in this one, because I'm thinking about how they're not spending as much time together and Arnold just wants him to be upfront and honest and stuff. But part of why I think his whole spiel is weird in this one is because he could just learn to give Gerald that space to hang out with the King's game, but he doesn't. But also they're in fourth grade, so I'm trying to remember, well, what are you feeling like as a 9-year-old whenever your friend is all of a sudden completely absorbed in an activity that you don't know at all or you have nothing to do with, or like you're saying, sports or what have you, that maybe a friend picks up and you don't. But I do think this one is maybe then from Arnold's perspective, because it's a bit confused then. And we're not really seeing, I mean, are we even seeing what Gerald loves so much about this game? Or are we just seeing that it's kind of a shameful thing that he doesn't want other people to know about, but yet a whole bunch of other kids play it and they play it a lot and it seems fun and it seems like they're having fun. And so I don't know, but I'm trying to think of it through Arnold's perspective and through the age that they're at.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's so much about this particular situation that is different from how any of us, I guess, could have experienced this. But like the fact that I had less autonomy in my social life as a kid that age because, well, I mean, I don't know. Arnold and friends are way more mature than I was at like 8, 9 years old. I was just a dumb little kid living in a big sprawling city where I cannot walk everywhere in the way that these characters can. That's like, that was like a big thing for me. And as we're talking more and more about this, but like thinking about what's preventing this from being kind of what we're talking about, what's preventing this from being something that I experienced as a kid? It was like, well, like I it's not, you know, a couple square blocks where all my friends live and I can just like walk to and hang out with them and find out immediately what they're doing. You know, there's probably like a good reason that I didn't hang out with some friends. Maybe they had secret hobbies and passions that I knew nothing about. That had to be it. There's no other reason why they wouldn't have wanted to hang out with me is what I'm telling myself. But you know, like little things like that. So I don't know. I like this as a framework for an episode, and like we're talking about it, the pieces are there, right? Like we can kind of connect, you know, these connect at the last stretch of the way, because the writing is on the wall. We can see what this is going for. And I think the fact that we're kind of like talking ourselves to the finish line is like, I don't know. I believe in partial credit. You know, I didn't graduate college with straight A's. I'm all for partial credit. So maybe this is just a matter of giving the episode partial credit. I'm pretty okay with that. Who doesn't love partial credit?
I love that you just made this episode about walkable cities and the hell that is the suburbs. Hannah Borenstein would be so proud of you. but hey, listen, he's right. We never had to worry about this because we never established communities with our fellow children because we lived in parts of the country that were set up to disincentivize that. Yeah, I think I agree with what you said, and it kind of goes to show you that, like, I think that like this is like a B minus episode of Hey Arnold, but like even a B minus episode has so much potential, right? It's like I want to like train this episode. I want to like have it hit the speed bag and like climb stairs and stuff and like turn it into the champ that I know it could be.
That's right. Swallow my doubt, turn it in, sign out, find nothing but however that song goes. Just thinking back to childhood now, going down memory lane as we head into the final leg of this half of the episode. Any lingering threads, shout outs, if you want to correct the Eve 6 lyrics that I just tried to throw out there, I'll take any and or all of that.
While we're doing armchair director and in shout outs, I wish that this was a pinball episode. Like how it starts out, we see Arnold and Gerald surrounding the really cool green, and it's like bright lime green, blue, pink, purple. It's really cool pinball machine, and the animation is like a green glow flashing on their faces as they're watching the game. And I guess maybe that sets up the fact that this King's game is supposed to be not as cool as pinball. But shout out to pinball, and shout out also to Grandpa's gigantic sandwich that he pulls out of the fridge during his speech.
Yeah, shout outs to Grandpa Phil. Had a really great moment in this episode. I think you already brought that up, but man, when he's stabbing those olives and then he goes, "I could be harsh, can't I, short man?" Absolutely brought the house down for me. So that was probably the highlight of the episode. And shout outs to little kids and their nerdy little card games, because man, did that bring back some happy memories for this nerdy little kid.
That's right. The thing that stood out for me, other than the nerdy little card games, which, you know, who's among us, the Bad Breath Boys, the movie franchise that Arnold and Gerald were going to get into, which is kind of weird because I didn't realize they made a movie franchise about Harry and I. good jokes. Yeah, that's, you know, that's that. I think it's only fair that the three of us take some turns playing. We might get in a couple rounds of the King Rules. I've got some Pokemon decks sitting in a corner of my bedroom, maybe a Yu-Gi-Oh deck or two, but I think we better unwind, kind of uncork ourselves from the throngs of this episode. So we're going to get that out of our system, but stay tuned and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 82B to get into next here, and that episode is called Fishing Trip. The original air date, April 27th, 2002. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold, Gerald, Harold, Sid, and Eugene go on a fishing trip with their fathers and Phil. Kind of a bummer, but yeah, their fathers and Phil. Special Wikipedia note, guest star for this episode, Davy Jones voices himself, and a special Cody note for this episode. I noticed in the end credits, Michael Jeter, portrays Nate, who I believe is Eugene's dad, Michael Jeter. I guess if you're listening to this, recording now, this glorious podcast, polished episode, you probably remember him from the likes of The First Air Bud. He was the antagonist. He was a French guy whose name I forgot in The Green Mile. He was an inmate at that prison, on death row. He was also, most importantly, in Jurassic Park 3, a movie that I've seen too many times. In any case, more shout outs. The folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss also directed this episode. Joseph the Purdman Purdy also co-wrote this episode. And this time we bring in Steve Vixton, to help the writer's room. He gets that writer's credit as well. Let's dig in. Harry, I will cast it over to you first. What did you think about Fishing Trip?
Ooh, I like that, Cody. Mm-hmm. I think I like this episode. I have somewhat mixed feelings in that, like, I think that as soon as you see the big resort across the pond, as it were, across the river from them, you know exactly where this episode is going to go. And I kind of wanted it to get there a little bit faster than it did. The whole idea of this episode is just to set it up that, like, the kids are having a miserable time on this camping trip. They can't catch any fish. It takes forever to get the worms that they need. It's very, like, goofy movie, right? It turns out that the adults are also having a miserable time, right? Like, all they can eat is beans, and their farts are so terrible that they're keeping each other awake with the in their tents. But the kids don't want to let the adults down. The adults don't want to let the kids down. Classic sort of like hijinks ensue where they have to stick out this trip even though nobody's having any fun, until finally one of them breaks and they're like, can we just, like, I'm having a terrible time, can we just go over there? And then they all do it, right? I think that's really funny. I think it's a really good premise. I think it's a really relatable premise, especially, like, I love a camping sucks episode. I think that those are always really funny. I love that there are multiple camping sucks episodes in Hey Arnold. And I would be remiss not to say this is the first time, I believe, that we get to see Sid and Eugene's dads. Sid's dad in particular, amazing piece of character design. He looks like such a, like, ratty older version of Sid. It's fantastic. Love to see the dads interact with their sons. Eugene falling, his dad immediately asking if he's okay, Eugene saying he's okay, and then Eugene's dad going, he's okay. Really great stuff. Maybe the most bizarre celebrity cameo that's ever been in Hey Arnold. Shout outs, and also I believe RIP, I believe Davy Jones died relatively recently. That might not be true, so I apologize deeply if it's not true, Mr. Jones, but I loved the joke where everybody referred to him as, like, singing sensation and former monkey Davy Jones. I thought that was really funny. I really like episodes that take place outside of the city. Just a nice change of pace. The song that they sing is really funny and a little bit risque for Hey Arnold. And I love that they bring it back for Davy Jones at the end. So, like, not like, I don't know. I think that I like this episode a lot. I don't really know why I don't feel more favorably towards it, except that I guess I just, like, I knew what it was going to be almost immediately. And then it spent the entire episode, like, just not doing it. And instead, like, I think that the camping episode, or the camping trip, ends up being 3 days long. And, like, the second night where they're all sitting around and they're still just farting like terrible, they have the exact same conversation again that they had the first night. And I was sort of like, I don't know. It's like, these are like 15-minute episodes. Usually I feel like they pack way too much and they're overambitious. This time I was like, they're stretching it out a little bit, you know? That didn't sit super well with me. So ultimately, not an episode I love, but an episode I enjoyed, and an episode that is really hilariously about the importance of, like, just, like, be honest about what you are, like, feeling. and you might find that other people feel the same way, right? Like, these characters, I think it's very Hey Arnold that all of these characters are trying to be too considerate, right? Even the kids. And I kind of love how the moral of this story is, like, listen, like, be honest, you know, like dishonest consideration is not really consideration as it turns out. Right. Or like sometimes you're better off just being true to yourself instead of making room for other people, because maybe you don't know how those other people feel either. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Just wish that the episode had maybe kept it moving a little bit better, but I don't know if that's how you guys felt, and I'm really interested in hearing what your thoughts are.
No, really good thoughts. I agree. Be true to yourself. Don't miss your chance. Emily, let's kick it to you next. What did you think about this camping heavy episode?
Yes. I agree with a lot of what Harry was saying. I think my favorite things about it were the nature backgrounds. And this show in general just does backgrounds so well, where we have episodes like the one we did previously where there's really awesome shots of the city at night or whenever, or perspective shots from above. And this episode is all nature backgrounds, and it looks so, so cool. So it made me honestly want to start like an account for the Hey Arnold backgrounds, which maybe I'll have to do. I take so many screenshots already anyway. So, but yeah, I think definitely cool to see the dads that we haven't seen before, Sid and Eugene's fathers. Definitely characterized in a way that makes sense and drawn up in ways that just feel right. But yeah, I think we've also had a camping episode before with the Rough in It episode in season one, which was more about Big Bob and his gadgets. And we had a fishing episode with Big Caesar in season two, but we haven't really necessarily been in a nature-y zone like that until now again. So kind of bringing those threads from the early seasons together for this big fishing camping trip. And I think both of this episode and the previous episode, and even the one that kicked off the season, have been real dude heavy episodes, and looking kind of at how boys talk to each other or don't talk to each other, or suffer in silence and don't talk about their feelings. Have a hard time maybe being direct, especially for the young boys here, the characters here in this episode. And their dads are doing the same thing, right? They're able to talk to each other though, which is helpful, but them not wanting to let each other down and not having a group communication causes all sorts of misery for them, and way too many beans and all of that. But I do think it's a good look at, like, I don't know, dudes' communication habits and maybe get like young boys' immaturity and how they are trying to handle a sticky situation, but just not knowing how to like talk through all of their feelings and stuff with their dads, who they look up to, and their dads, but who are grown men, are also not communicating with their sons. And so anyway, dude stuff. But I also think that it's strange Davy Jones is in the episode as a cameo. Super unexpected, and I'm not sure why he was in it, but maybe he loved the show or something like that, or maybe he had family that loved the show. So that's pretty cool. And I also really wanted them to be over on that other side with the greener grass, away from the smelly side of the campfire, or campsite. Oh my goodness gracious. other things I was going to say, I like that Harold is the one that kind of finally breaks, this lack of communication, or he's the one that starts having this moment of truth here with everyone around the campfire and tells this story that's clearly about all of them, and they're like, wait a second, is that us? Oh my god, it's us. And then they're all laughing their asses off, which I think is also a nice look at dudes in their way of communicating and interacting. And so the fact that they think their whole misunderstanding is actually hilarious, and they're ready to stop being miserable and go have fun on the other side with Davy Jones and the concert and ice cream is great. And I just wish they had been having fun over there sooner as well. What did you think of it, Cody?
Yeah, thank you, Emily. As has been the case for the most recent couple of, the first handful of episodes of season five, I'm coming down in a similar space. It did feel like we were just being dragged through the mud of like, listen, I love a good like fable centered around dramatic irony. The whole like these two sides actually feel the same. We're just not like expressing it. I think that's like an A+, even if it's not laugh out loud funny on paper or even in action. I like it's a sense like a sensible flavor of story to want to watch. And there have been successful episodes like that in Hey Arnold before. And like I think it is successful, but like I said, it does feel like we're just stretching it out a little too much. Maybe you pad the beginning of this episode with more of like the car chatter of like, hey, what are our expectations for this trip? And then like we can see those things play out, but just like in the opposite way, right? Like this big focus on we're going to catch a bunch of fish and, you know, they catch no fish. And like there's going to be like, oh, we'll be amongst the wildlife. There'll be some deers. They're really nice. And then they encounter a moose that like, I don't know, bucks them with its horns or something. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I'm an ideas guy. But like, yeah, all that is to say, you know, it felt like there was, the slices of bread were huge and there was just not maybe, you know, as much filling as we would want. Because as you both said, we can see the ending in sight. I'm on a webcam gesturing in the distance. I know that does nothing for the audio listeners, but it's there. It's right there. We can see it. I'm pointing straight ahead. We know what the destination is. They got to get across the river. That being said, I do like the gags that they went with, that they tried to like, you know, that they interspersed, rather the, you know, camping, hijinks, the, you know, we're having trouble fishing. We're not catching fish. We're hooking boats. We're hooking trousers. We're hooking, you know, all sorts of anything but fish like that, like the sort of a word that I feel like I've used too much to start the season, but the sort of cosmic interference of like, nature is going to make this as difficult for this group of characters as possible. They're get like anything but fish, anything but having a good time. There's even that stretch or that sequence near the end where it's rapid fire weather conditions, which I thought was a great bit and would have loved it if they had leaned into that even more. It's like it's raining for 10 seconds and then it's hailing for 10 seconds. And then, you know, the biblical sign of like, oh, it's actually no, it's not a biblical thing, but like a buttload of frogs. I'm thinking of locusts for some reason, but I don't know, a bunch of frogs is also scary on biblical levels, one might argue. I'm okay with frogs, but it was whether they're scared of frogs or not, the fact that these characters, all these like weather patterns are happening in rapid succession, they're just sitting there absorbing them, because at this point it's like nothing is surprising. We know that the world is against us. We're not gonna have a good time as long as we're here. I loved the farting. The farting is such a strength of this episode. The Chekhov's beans, and the fact that they were farting at multiple points in my notes, I just kept writing, like, they're still farting. Like, they're still going back to this well. And it is funnier every time. The kids are farting. The grown-ups are farting. Grandpa farts in front of a candle and almost burns down the tent. It's like, good God, Craig. Like that, I did not expect that. I love that there a significantly greater portion of the gags leaned on the farts. And I'm all for it. I'm a simple person. Somebody farts, I'm all about it. I'm laughing. Farting is great. Shout out to the farts. A fun episode overall. I've got some weird feelings about the direction it goes, but ultimately, some good gags. Still feels like there are traces of the classic vintage Hey Arnold DNA embedded in this episode, with some new characters, some new sights. So all that's great.
Yeah, I really like a point you made. I really like this as an ensemble episode. A really brilliant thing that Emily said that kind of completely missed me is that like this is such a dudes episode. And I'm of two minds about this, because on the one hand, I think that like it, I think a lesser show or maybe a more cliched show would make this episode an episode about masculinity, right? Where like, oh, like the characters, they wanted to prove that they were tough and that they like manly things like rough camping, and that's why they can't communicate with each other. The problem is that, like, I think that that would make for a more conventional episode, but I also do unfortunately think it would make for a stronger episode. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's kind of what they're gesturing at here, is that, like, instead they sort of eschew the idea that, like, men can't communicate with each other because of how hard they're trying to perform masculinity, in favor of, like, oh, they're all being, like, really, like, considerate of one another, and maybe using consideration as a crutch to not have to admit that they're not having fun. So, like, there's still some of that, but, like, I wonder if they could have leaned harder into that, right? Like, I think that, like, maybe they could have been more over the top about all of the people pretending to have such a great time, to demonstrate their manliness to each other, or something along those lines, right? That would sort of, like, sell why this disagreement, or why this lack of communication is happening, and sort of, like, do a better job of lampooning how incompetent men are at communicating their real feelings. Because in lieu of that sort of energy, that sort of, like, critique of masculinity that happens here, it did get a little bit frustrating, right? It would just, it's a little bit like, okay, like, there's not really a good reason why they're not just saying, like, let's just stop doing this and go somewhere else. And sort of instead of that, we get admittedly some funny vignettes, right? Like, I really love the rabies vignette, Harold eating the worms because he's hungry. Again, the beans, so funny, such a great way to, like, demonstrate why camping would suck, right? I love that, like, we get the tale of two tents. We get to actually, like, see these adults interacting with each other. So, like, there's some good stuff happening here. I just, like, again, like, I think that maybe just because it's not the flavor I'm used to, it completely missed me Emily's great point that, like, this is an episode about how men can't communicate with each other. And I think that, like, maybe leaning more into the toxic masculinity of this episode would have sold it a little bit more, right? Like if Gerald can't be like, nah, man, like, we can't go over there, like, my dad's gonna think I'm a total, like, silly city slicker, and, like, if Arnold was like, ah, man, Grandpa Phil, he's always wanted to get me out here, and I really just want to go back to the city and, like, play baseball or whatever. Like, I think that, like, not to play backseat director again, but I think that that's kind of what this episode is trying to do anyway. And so I wonder if they wouldn't, why they didn't just sort of lean harder into that. Maybe they just wanted to preserve the characters and not make them so sort of, like, frustratingly masculine and toxic, which I can sympathize with too. But I think in this one instance, it kind of, like, sands down the point of the message in this episode a little bit, I think.
I agree with that. And this thing that I'm about to bring forth is not a direct counter to that, but I think maybe, like, supplying or articulating the other guardrail for, like, kind of slotting in where this episode aligns on, like, a sensibility spectrum when it comes to all of this, something that that you were talking about now, just as you spoke, I thought about. Like, something I didn't really think much of while I was watching this episode, but the fact that Harold is getting into, like, so many shenanigans, and he's kind of, you know, run around being, like, he is able to be Harold in this space on this camping trip where it's children and their, like, their parental figures, like, their male parental figures, you know, fathers, except in Arnold's case where he has his grandfather. And, like, there's no, it's not, we know Harold's father at this point. Like, we know that he's not, like, the type of person to do this anyway, but he's not, like, reining Harold in, being like, oh, Harold, what the heck are you doing? Don't eat that. And then I got thinking about, like, how different of an episode this would be. Maybe, like, a more obvious, you know, a textual episode if this was, like, if Big Bob was here on the trip. You know, obviously different for
exactly.
A lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Right. Different for a lot of reasons, because that introduces Helga, and, like, it's, like, it kind of disrupts the whole kind of thing we're talking about here with this being, you know, a meditation on, like, how masculinity plays out in these types of situations. But I do, like, it is the fact that this is a shared experience with fathers and grandfathers and their sons. And, like, these kids can be kids, these with their own sort of autonomies and agendas, and the parental figures, like, similarly, the fact that we get glimpses into both tents, like, they are thinking about themselves. They are thinking about, it's not like they're, like, we're not thinking about them. They're not being portrayed, rather, as, like, careless, like, you know, they're not like bad parents. That's not how they're coded. Like that's the episode doesn't code it that way, and it doesn't feel that way. And all that is to say, I think this does occupy a certain space, and you know, the fact that it is, maybe it doesn't hit all the marks. Maybe it is not like the right sort of exploration of like masculinity that we would want. But I the more I think about it, the more I'm growing to be more comfortable with sort of where you know, where it ends up. Maybe even giving a grading on a curve for the fact that we get, you know, like two of the fathers we've never met, and they're introduced, and like they are not like, we don't get, they don't like, for the sake of convenience, write them in to be like strict, you know, wild card disciplinarians, and you know, like really you know, hard-nosed people who are like watching their sons like hawks. Like Sid's dad, like he gets a fish and he tosses it back into the water, and he's like, I just tossed the fish back into the water, didn't I? Great joke. Like really excellent joke. And we learn a lot about him and you know, the rest of these fathers just from those little bit of interactions. I'm kind of rambling at this point, but I like where we're, I don't know. I like where we're getting at. And I feel like simultaneously like less comfortable and more comfortable with where this episode is ending up, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because like now that I'm thinking about it more, like I think that even as a kid, this episode would have resonated with me better than the episode that I sort, the counter episode I described, right? Like growing up, like I never grew up in a household where I like wanted to be like very manly, right? But I did like constantly worry about disappointing my dad, right? Like if like he took me on a camping trip, I would like 100% like try really hard to pretend I was having a great time, even if I wasn't. And it would just because like I would be so afraid of disappointing him, right? So like there is something really resonant there. And like this idea that like maybe like if you be honest, like you won't actually disappoint people, right? Like maybe they'll actually be happy with you for expressing your real feelings. So like, you know what? Like the more you talk about it, the more I'm more on board with like what this episode depicts, particularly because I feel like, well, it's more subtle than the episode that I sort of illustrated. Like it might be as resonant, right? Like the only thing is just that like it made the problem seem so obvious to have such an obvious solution, but like maybe even that is part of the thing, right? Like maybe the fact that like it does seem obvious is supposed to be telling us something, right? That like, hey, like if you're not having a great time, like maybe your dad's not either, or maybe you shouldn't worry so much about disappointing people and you should just say it like it is or something like that. Because like your dad is not going to be disappointed with you, right? Like Arnold or Gerald or whomever. So yeah, that's a really interesting point. I don't know that like I kind of still wish that this episode had a little bit more meat on the bone. But as we talk about it, I think that moral really is coming around for me. It's working a little bit better.
Look at that. We looked across the thematic waters and we saw ourselves a resort. And hey, Davy Jones is singing. Isn't that wild, Emily? Davy Jones in the flesh. Who'd have thunk?
So crazy, because he was in the Monkees.
Get out of here. Are you for real? No.
They pointed out in the episode, I think we already mentioned.
Shout out to Davy Jones.
Shout out to Davy Jones. Shout out to Monkees. And I like what y'all were saying about where you inevitably landed with the episode. And I think maybe the writers just kind of wanted to have a fun time introducing some of the dads we've never seen before, and play up the beans and all of those sound effects. But yeah. I guess shout out to the Monkees, and that's it from me.
Yeah, shout out to the Monkees. Shout out to all the sound effects that permeated this episode of Hey Arnold. Any other shout outs or lingering threads that we wanted to touch on quick?
Shout outs to good dads. I think all the dads in this episode are pretty good dads. So you love to see that.
You do. You do love to see that, and hopefully you love to hear it as well. And if that is the case, whether that is the case or not, thank you, dear listener, for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us. Where can you follow us? You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. That's where you can follow us. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
In conclusion, good beans. Very good beans. Pass the beans.
Miss Susie had a tugboat. The tugboat had a bell. Miss Susie went to heaven. The tugboat went to... Hello, operator. Give me number 9. And if you disconnect me, I'll kick you in the... Behind the refrigerator, there was a piece of glass. Miss Susie fell upon it. I cut a little. Ask me no more questions. Tell me no more lies. The boys are in the bathroom. Sipping up their flies are in the meadow. The bees are in the park. The boys and girls are...